Welcome back to Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. And with me in the studio once again, Morgan Pitts from wood pellet manufacturer and exporter Enviva, and Adam Macon of the environmental advocacy group, the Dogwood Alliance, dedicated to preserving southeastern forests. With us by phone is utilization forester Clay Altizer of the North Carolina Forest Service. If you'd like to ask a question of our guests, well, you won't be able to get through right now. The phone number for later on is 910-343-1138, or send an email if you can't get through to coastline@whqr.org, and think about tweeting us at @CoastlineHQR. Before we went to break, Adam Macon of the Dogwood Alliance had just talked about low versus high value trees, and how do you place a dollar value on a particular tree? Morgan Pitts from Enviva, your response.
Well, I think, you know, when Adam and I talk about value and value of forests, it's easy to see that we are coming at it from perhaps two slightly different perspectives. However, I strongly believe that the two are in no way mutually exclusive. The value as far as attractive timberland, as I've mentioned earlier, is really in things like saw timber, you know, the high value wood that landowners can sell for a high price tag, which go to make, again, dimensional lumber or furniture, things like that.
And at this point, just to be clear, it's more lucrative for a landowner to sell trees for saw timber if they can do that.
Oh, absolutely. Landowners aren't growing trees to sell to the pellet industry. They're growing trees to make into telephone poles and saw timber. The pellet industry pays pennies on the dollar for what that brings in. So, just to come back to the two notions of value, the other one is ecological value and ecosystem services, and those are very important. And I think that they're very important to us at Enviva too, in making sure that we promote sustainable management of forest land, so that you can have harvests for wood fiber while also protecting water quality, habitat. And that's the reason that we as a company have pursued multiple certifications. We hold chain of custody certification from all of the leading forest sustainability organizations, Forest Stewardship Council, which I mentioned, Sustainable Forestry Initiative, and others. And we also have programs in place to ensure that even when not operating in a certified forest land, that we monitor the supply chain and that best management practices which protect water quality are followed. So we think that there's tremendous ecological and economic value to the Southeast working forests.
We have an email from Connie Majorette. She's from the Wilmington Chamber of Commerce. She says, with the anemic job growth we've experienced in recent years, we welcome Enviva and the jobs they will provide. We're impressed with their willingness to work with their Sunset Park neighbors to mitigate impacts. Thank you. Once again, this is we've seen so much support coming in for the boost that Enviva is bringing to both the state economy and the local economy. We also have an email from David Henderson, who is president of the North Carolina Tree Farm Program in Asheboro. And he says the forest economy in North Carolina can be described as a three-legged stool. The non-industrial private landowners own 70% of the forested acres in North Carolina and are represented by one leg. The North Carolina Tree Farmer Program encourages tree farm certification, sustainability, and stewardship on private forest land. Forest industry is represented by the second leg, that sawmills, paper mills, energy pellets, one of the state's largest employers, he says. And president of the North Carolina Tree Farm Program says the third leg of the economy represents the logging contractors, including truckers, equipment dealers, fuel and lubrication businesses. Each of these three legs of the forest economy stool must be financially stable, or the stool falls. With a weak forest economy, there's less incentive for individuals to own and maintain sustainable, healthy forests for all North Carolina citizens to enjoy the benefits. Adam Macon of the Dogwood Alliance, once again, we're presented with this really important economic element to this industry.
Yeah, and, you know, speaking of economics and being able to support forest economies, let's look specifically at how the biomass industry is able to function. When we get down to it, the reason that the wood pellet industry exists is because the false claim that they're a solution to climate change. But what we're seeing is the science is shifting around that and the policy is shifting around that. This industry is solely reliant on subsidies from both Europe and right here in the States. One of Enviva's main buyers is the utility Drax in the UK. Drax is currently making $1.5 million a day in subsidies. It's 76% of their total annual gross profits.
Which is a really interesting element to this conversation. So if that's true, if this emerging market is being fueled by European subsidies that will eventually evaporate as target carbon emissions become more restrictive overseas, then is this a boom or bust kind of industry, Morgan Pitts of Enviva?
Absolutely not. The policy shift, and I'm going to try to avoid jargon here and apologize, but there's one subsidy scheme that is in place right now in the UK that does expire in 2027. It is being replaced by a different one. And that's just it is a shift in policy, but not with regard to the recognition of the benefits that biomass and wood pellets bring.
But the replacement subsidy, you're saying, will support the wood pellet industry?
It will support all energy industries in the UK. This is their method. This is how the UK makes national energy policy. So the notion that we're going to somehow evaporate in 2027 based on purely that proof point is false. And if I may make one more, the reason that subsidies like this exist is to jumpstart new industries. That's why wind and solar receive subsidies as well. The idea is to bring new industries up to achieving economies of scale so that they can actually compete. And we're very confident that wood pellets, first of all, already in some markets are cost competitive with fossil fuels today. And we're very confident that over time that will continue to be more and more so.
Okay, we have a full phone bank. Let's take Jack from Hampstead. Welcome to Coastline. You're on the air. Hello, Jack.
Yes. Thank you very much. I own the type of hardwoods that Enviva is clear cutting in northeastern North Carolina within driving distance of their Ahoskie pellet plant. And I would never dream of allowing it to be cut for such purposes. But I think I stand on good grounds in terms of knowledge of what they're cutting. And I've also planted mixed hardwoods on some marginal row crop land. But what I really want to speak about is my experience in the UK. I'm fortunate to spend a couple of months there every year, and I spend a lot of time with professionals in botany and horticulture. And when I have the chance to tell them about what's happening on wood pellets, they are amazed. They have the concept that the wood pellets being burned in the UK as a so-called green energy is coming from rapidly generated types of fibers such as switchgrass, bamboo, or fast-growing willows. When I tell them about clear-cutting hardwoods, especially in wetlands of places like eastern North Carolina in the Roanoke River Valley, they are just amazed. And I think it's only a matter of time before the full light of day comes to shine on what the UK government thought was a proper, and they were well-meaning in what they did, but it's just seriously environmentally flawed. And I'm hopeful that even if we aren't smart enough in North Carolina to get our arms around what's going on, that the UK government will, and the subsidy will stop, and things will take care of themselves. Thank you.
Jack, thanks so much for your call. And we have Dwight, once again, Dwight Batch from Wilson. You had a follow-up question for our guests.
Yes, I did. I apologize for not getting it in earlier. But the question, one for Morgan and one for Adam, and I think these will require short answers. The first question I'll give to Morgan, and it's this. When we have sustainable forest, it does take a commitment, and especially if you're looking for diversity in the forest, which is required according to our certified forests, is Enviva willing to pay more for that product?
Morgan Pitts.
Yes, we are. We are willing to pay more for certified fiber. And in addition to that, speaking of certified land, Enviva has recently launched its own independently managed group with the American Tree Farm System. So we support further landowner certification and sustainable forest management very directly.
Okay. And that's a great point, Dwight. Thank you so much for your call. Let's talk a little bit about landowner certification. What does that mean? Adam Macon.
So there are several different independent certifications, and as has come up multiple times here, a large percentage, over 90% of the forested land in the South is privately owned. What's important to remember is that because of that private landowner dynamic, there are very, very few laws or regulations that actually require these landowners to do any basic forest management practices, such as notifying the authorities before you cut, or protection of logging in wetlands, conversion of our natural forest to pine plantations.
It's private property.
It's private property, exactly. So that's why we have the existence of third-party certifications. What we've seen is that the vast majority, and particularly the ones that are strongly supported by the pellet industry, such as the Sustainable Forestry Initiative, allow for the worst of the worst practices to still happen, such as widespread clear cutting, conversion of natural forest to pine plantations, use of toxic chemicals in these plantations. They still allow for these practices, and then they get this green label stamped on them that says sustainable.
Well, and just from a logical sort of self-interest, I'm a private landowner, let's say, and this is an industry that's been in my family for many generations. Doesn't it make sense for me to want to preserve the land so that we can harvest again and again and again and manage it in a sustainable way?
Certainly. And those landowners should be utilizing that land for the high-value timber. They should, you know, from our perspective, they should grow their trees for things like high-value saw timber and then selectively cut those trees. But the fact is that, as we've mentioned, most of these landowners are small families. They're small families. They're growing trees because they have land. To say that each family, each small landowner has a particular forest management plan is not an accurate depiction of what's on the ground. What we have here is a lot of large plantation owners calling in and making the case for the vast majority of landowners who are in these small land holdings. What they'll have is they'll get a letter and saying, we want to cut your trees. We'll give you this amount for it. They don't know whether it's a paper company or a saw timber company or a pellet industry. That's what happens. And the particular areas in which Enviva is logging, not a lot of the saw timber actually exists. And that has been shown in multiple reports.
Okay. And we have a couple of people. We have Marty from Leland who wants to address carbon sequestration. Terry Meadowcraft tweeted, please just define it. So we will go to Marty in a second. But Morgan Pitts from Enviva, please respond.
Well, I think first and foremost, a lot of landowners do pursue land management plans. This is something that Clay can speak to better than I can. But I want to make just a couple of quick points. The first is the kind of land management that you're advocating, selective cutting, is also known as high grading, and that's been shown to be tremendously detrimental to biodiversity over time. Leaving the least healthy trees standing is not a good way to regrow new healthy trees, and the least healthy trees are effectively what we're talking about. The other quick point I would like to make as far as SFI versus FSC, and to be clear, Enviva supports all of those, and we are happy to work with landowners with all. We do have the group under American Tree Farm, but that Forest Stewardship Council allows clear cutting as well. So that's not SFI versus FSC. It's recognized as a sustainable forest practice.
And Marty from Leland, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air. I understand you have some expertise in this industry.
Hi, Rachel. Yes, I'm Marty McDonald. I'm a former chemical engineer in the pulp and paper industry. I just thought I'd answer that sequestration problem you asked of the panel earlier. Sequestration is, you may be familiar with a chemical called chlorophyll. That's the green in all green trees and plants. Chlorophyll is used in a process called photosynthesis. It pulls carbon dioxide from the air, nutrients from the ground, and produces cellulose, which is the fiber in the trees, and releases oxygen back into the atmosphere.
That's an excellent explanation, Adam Macon of Dogwood Alliance.
And thank you, Marty, for setting us straight on the carbon sequestration. We can get in our own little bubbles sometimes. But, and I would like to say that this is an emerging science that around this term of carbon sequestration and has been shown in multiple reports from the EPA's own science advisory board, from a study by the University of Georgia, from multiple reports by our partners at Southern Environmental Law Center and NRDC. I mean, saying – and what we're seeing is that saying all – counting all forms of biomass as carbon neutral is essentially the same as modern-day climate denial. It's just not true.
Okay. Morgan Pitts, you have a response to that, and then we're going to quickly take our last call from Rochelle. Go ahead, Morgan.
Adam, I think we need to avoid getting into the my study is better than your study back and forth, but there are quite a few studies as recently as just a month ago from Duke University and NC State showing tremendous carbon benefits. What I also think is even more important is, as I mentioned earlier, the United Nations has endorsed this. Multiple governments around the world have endorsed this. The US EPA has actually endorsed it. The Scientific Advisory Board acknowledges that there are tremendous climate benefits. They are currently undergoing a detailed rulemaking process, but that is at the core of what they published.
And I'm not able to take this call from Rochelle from Surf City. We're running out of time, but she does say, I'm a certified wildlife biologist with 12 years in forestry. A lot of the hardwoods are only here because we haven't had fire on the landscape. This cutting disturbance is better than no disturbance at all. And Bob has the following comment. The federal government classifies the wood pellet industry as a green industry. North Carolina Forestry Service says we have an excess of 4 million tons of wood in North Carolina that's currently going to waste because they aren't being used. They just rot and fall. And Viva's plan is to primarily use limbs and tips and other things that are currently being left in the forest when other timber is being cut. Adam Macon, 30 seconds, final thought.
I would just say that this is the direction that this industry is heading is going to increasingly pose threats to the communities, the forests, and the climate, and it's a bad investment for North Carolina communities.
Morgan Pitts.
And I will say that Enviva was founded 10 years ago with the intent to make the world a better place, and that is absolutely true. We go to work every day to support healthy forests, lower emissions, and vibrant communities throughout the Southeast, and we look forward to being in Wilmington.
That's this edition of Coastline. Thanks to our guests, Adam Macon, Morgan Pitts, and Clay Altizer. Thanks also to you, our listeners, and those of you who emailed in your comments. Coastline is produced by Isabel Shepherd. Our technical director is Ken Campbell. Our web wizard is Melissa Stone. If you missed part of the show, we'll post it on our website. You can also download the podcast from the iTunes store. WHQR.org is the website. There you'll also find podcasts of earlier shows. Thanks again for listening. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline.